This hour is brought to you by ETI, School of Skilled Trades. Step up to the plate, start your career in welding or HVACR at ETI, School of Skilled Trades. Visit eticampus.edu to learn more.
Live from State Street and the Old National Bank Studio, this is Waddle and Sylvie. See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Or listen to the ESPN Chicago app, ESPN 1000 and 100.3 HD2.
This is WMVP, WSHE HD2 Chicago.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
So, the Bears released some of the initial renderings. Again, I think it's just up the... So you get a good scope of how big of a project this is going to be ahead of their meeting on Thursday.
I'm not bothered either by all of the constant use of the word if. Like, that's just procedural or legal from my perspective.
Right. And Mellor pointed out, too, like, they could always say, look, if it's not under our terms, we don't have to do this thing.
Right.
So they're using it in all negotiations. Hey, we don't have to.
Nope.
We don't have to. But it is, like you have said, you'd be very disappointed if they don't.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
this is
a layup.
This is the magical time. Like, it will never happen like this again, where you have this place available that they have flirted. If you don't know the history, George Hall has flirted with Arlington Heights many times in past years.
Yeah.
But way back in the 60s and 70s. Remember, I don't know what the stats are now with Wrigley versus Soldier, but there was for many years, the Bears played the most games they've ever played at Wrigley.
Right.
Like, it wasn't Soldier. Like, all these people were dug in on Soldier. For many, many years, the place that they played their most games was at a baseball park.
It was Wrigley Field.
It's
where they played a lot with Butkus and Sayers.
Yes,
right? Isn't where the majority of their games were played?
63 championship was won in Wrigley Field, or that season they played at Wrigley Field. A lot of them. And, you know, they didn't get back to Soldier, I don't think, till the 70s. So let's talk to Courtney. And again, just to remind everybody, Friday we're going to be out at Binney's Beverage Depot in Lincoln Park, 1720 North Marcy Street. We'll have a pair of Miller Lite Loft tickets. They renovated the Miller Lite Loft like 4 or 5 years ago. It is delightful. It is a great place to watch a game. These will be free to one lucky winner, where you'll be able to go to Bears Niners.
That's nice.
Miller Lite.
I think I'll be in the opposite. Isn't it then one of the end zone? Isn't the...
Yes.
I think they've placed me in the other end zone.
It's a rarity for you, right?
Me and all... Right. I'm going to have to somebody show me how to get there.
Yeah, right.
Right.
You've only been there 9 times.
Right. And mostly not there in other places. But my point is I'm going to create my own beer loft.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It's Tom Waddle beer loft?
Well, it's me and several of my family members, so...
Will you be campaigning as the next Bears president?
I will not, no.
But
why would I be campaigning for something that I'm not qualified for?
If chosen, would you serve?
As the Bears president?
Yes.
Would never be chosen, so well, I'm not pursuing it.
I believe...
I think we need to make buttons.
Yes.
Well, I think the Athletic didn't the Athletic do a poll... And you won the poll.
It was snarky John Greenberg who ran the poll.
Right. He's always running polls.
Right.
At other people's expense.
Exactly.
Because he's too lazy to do actual work. He's just like, here's a poll.
What I'd
I'll
rather
write a story
do is
about the poll.
You know what I would rather do? I'd rather serve as a campaign manager for somebody who is infinitely more qualified than me. And I've tried in the past. I just got to get that guy... Get him convinced to do it.
Before we get to Courtney, care to lend the name? Because I think this person's name will be on our list.
To me, it was evident months ago, and it's evident today. I think the most qualified candidate for that job is Trace Armstrong. Was the former president of the Players Association. He's 100-plus sacks in the league, is an accomplished player. Has, you know, run his own business for decades now. Represents
in
players,
football, yeah.
Represents coaches and front office people, you know, could pick up his phone and call the commissioner or Park Avenue, whoever he needs to talk to inside the league and get the attention of somebody. He's a football guy who has business acumen.
Yeah.
He's the perfect guy. If Ted is stepping away,
this
to
is
me,
it.
There's like, listen. With
it's
no
like
just,
Arlington Heights, right?
Exactly.
Where you may never get a better opportunity.
I'm not going to suggest that you couldn't put someone else in that position and that person could find success. But to me, at this moment, you ask me who would be your leading candidate for that job? To me, it's a resounding scream of Trace Armstrong.
Let's go to Courtney Cronin doing a great job covering the Bears. She's had a great camp, and you're going to enjoy her coverage all year long on Waddle and Sylvie and all of ESPN 1000.
Is she coming by Friday?
Maybe, right? Courtney, the invite has been extended. We know you have lots of Friday traffic to fight, but we hope to see you there as well at Benny's.
Yeah, I hope so. If you guys are willing to get me a police escort, I can be there by 3:30, but I'm not sure if that's in the funds for good karma just yet, but let's work on it.
Sylvie has friends. He can make that happen.
I don't know about that. Yeah. I do have friends, not for a police escort, though.
Yeah, we'll make some calls.
Yeah. Maybe if it was down Deerfield Road from like one end of Deerfield to the other, but not into the city.
We'll make some calls.
All right, so let's start, first of all, big picture, because I know you were very active yesterday covering Bears practice and everything they said, but the Bears released this whole thing here. Did they make an impression on you on what they said or what they didn't say in their release regarding Arlington Heights?
Yeah, I'm no lawyer, but like the whole like hypothetical stuff and using if in all in italics four times, like I get why they have to do it, but like let's stop dancing around this. They're moving to Arlington Heights. Like I understand apparently it's probably before I was born, but allegedly they were remember they were gonna try to go to Gary at one point?
Yep.
Like they had the plans for all that and they released the renderings and well that obviously didn't go through for a multitude of reasons, which I'm sure they're thankful for. But, you know, we all know that this is happening. And I think the thing that was interesting to me, certainly the first time we've heard that they want, you know, the proposal includes the domed stadium at Arlington Park. And that's important because, you know, we live in the Midwest, like do what Minnesota did, you know, put all of the resources that you have into building something where you can host Final Fours, where you can host, you know, college football playoff games, all the things that they haven't been able to do, Super Bowls in a city like this, because, you know, we have weather that works against us. We're not Miami. We're not New Orleans. We're not Arizona. And I think that that would be, you know, the biggest thing that they can do and their biggest takeaway from this project is if they can get that through, which, you know, right now they're saying they're not asking taxpayers to pay for that. Now, you read a little bit further into the statement that they put out today that there's other things on that site that they're going to be seeking to work with various government agencies, meaning taxpayers will pay for other stuff, probably like the hotel and all the other projects that are going to be on that 326-acre property. But the Dome Stadium, that's the first time that they had addressed that that's what they're going to seek to build there. I mean, we saw the initial renderings. It's all kind of placeholders, so it's not like we're going to get to see what those drawings would look like and what the proposed stadium would, you know, how many seats it would be, the whole thing. But I think that's a big development, and that's the way that this thing should trend. Look, I know that there are football purists, especially people in this area, who want to see football played outdoors. They want the retractable roof just to have the option of that. Like, maybe there will be. We don't know that. Dome doesn't necessarily mean it's not a retractable roof, but it's a smart move because you've got to be thinking about things other than a football season that's 17 games during the regular season. You should. Anybody now building a stadium should be aiming to host world-class events, whether it's the Super Bowl, Final Fours, you know, college football, national championship games, all of that, because that's how you make money outside of football season.
Before we get to this Sunday and the matchup with the Bears and the 49ers, is there any buzz or there's any talk up there, Courtney, about the news from late last week that Ted Phillips will be stepping away at the end of the year?
Yeah, I think that when we saw that come down on Friday, it's interesting just given kind of the timing of where this franchise is going. New head coach, new general manager, and maybe a change of direction. I mean, when we think back to when George McCaskey had his press conference following the final loss of the season and then they fire Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, you know, he's talking about, I'm just a fan. And then we kind of realize what some of those changes are going to be, that polls reports directly to him now and not reporting to Ted Phillips. And I'm not saying that the writing was on the wall from that, but in reading the exclusive that The Athletic had, you know, moments before the Bears announced it themselves, I think it's the right move. If you're really trying to change the culture here, a lot of this is systemic. A lot of the stuff, within the Bears organization has been going on for a long time. And it's, you know, it's not just a new general manager and new head coach comes in and the culture's completely changed. There's stuff on the business side. There's stuff that's deeply rooted within the ownership group that, you know, if you've been around for, you know, 40 years, 23 in the current position that you have, it might be time for someone else to take over and guide the direction of the franchise. Now, we know Ted Phillips has been instrumental in the Arlington Park property and the acquisition, and they, I think he said it was January of this past year that they're trying to close on the land, and George McCaskey reiterated that with us at owners' meetings by, I think it's the end of the first quarter of 2023, so like January of 2023 is when they aim to, you know, close on that property and then potentially begin developing. That's why they're using all of these ifs in this statement. But it's interesting because I think when you take a look at the playoff success at the guidance and leadership, I mean, he's the CEO and president. It pretty much doesn't get much higher of a position than that. There is a lot of good that was done. I mean, he got the renovations done at Soldier Field when I think it was Michael McCaskey, and that was well before my time on the beat, but like history stands for itself and what has been done, what has not been done, and what's gone on under his watch. There's a lot of good, but I think, you know, at least from what I've gathered from fans, there's some fans who are excited to see the direction his team goes in and what they do to fulfill that role, whether it is internally, which, you know, I'm sure there's some candidates people would like, some people would not like. And, you know, like you had mentioned, at Waddle, with, you know, Trace Armstrong's name has constantly come up. How feasible that is, I don't know. But, you know, certainly for those of us who work with agents constantly and realizing how powerful of an agent he is, it'd be nice to have him on this side of things. So maybe he'll return a phone call every once in a while.
Listen, we were teammates, and it's very infrequent that I get the call back as soon as I would like. So I get it.
I can. Courtney, I can understand that.
Yeah.
Courtney, you mentioned on the air, I think I was listening to you like a week or two ago, and you mentioned that even though you, I think you went to Indiana, you grew up in a big Northwestern family. Like your family are huge Wildcat fans.
Yeah.
My guy at the Bears Den, who's been on Jeff Hughes a lot of this, has suggested that the Bears could have an interest in Jim Phillips. Did you ever get to know Jim Phillips? And it would seem to me that he could be another good name for this job.
Yeah, I've heard that name floated around, just honestly, like a very loose capacity. And, you know, the type of reputation he has at Northwestern, and now, he's got a different role now elsewhere, right?
He's ACC commissioner.
Yeah, ACC commissioner.
He's no longer the AD there. I mean, certainly he's leveled up to a degree where he's in a spot now where he's running an entire conference. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world for this organization, which has been so rooted in tradition and so rooted in family and so rooted in the same sort of thinking that they've had since the inception of this franchise, to look outside of that. And, you know, the most successful franchises that you're going to find is one that's a well-oiled machine where everybody's moving in the same direction with systemic.
Let's see if we can put Courtney on hold, because I want to get into, as we mentioned, the X's and O's the Bears.
I think they were off today, right? But like yesterday, Patrick was out there.
Lucas Patrick.
Byron Pringle, I believe, was out there as well. So there's obviously some on-the-field stuff to get to.
Yeah,
for sure.
There was a hiccup in there earlier, but a lot of times these hiccups smooth out with today's technology, but we didn't get that going well. Like, before I ask Courtney, too, do you have any idea why they're floating Lucas Patrick as a possible guard? Is it because the hand?
Could be.
And it's harder to play center?
Yeah, could be. And I mean, he may be one of their best five, but if he can't actually snap the ball because of a lingering issue with the wrist, was it wrist or thumb? Whatever it is, it's on his paw. And like, look, it's harder to play center than it is guard with that situation. You don't want to have a club at either position. Like, seriously, you as an offensive lineman, there is a certain amount of holding that you're allowed to do. Like, it'd be impossible, I would think, to play offensive line with your hand in one of those clubs.
Yeah, yeah. Let's, Courtney, let's advance now to the actual football. Waddle and I, while we were getting back with you, we were just talking about Lucas Patrick and his availability and the flirtation of possibly playing him at guard. What can you tell us?
Yeah, it was interesting when Matt Eberflus said that last week that they wouldn't rule out that possibility, and that's before we saw Lucas Patrick get onto the field yesterday. That was the first time since, I think it's July 28th, when he went down with the broken thumb. And he still has the cast there, and I know that we see such a limited amount of snaps during the individual period and stretching. That's all we get. So we're not seeing who's lining up with the first team or the second team, but what we did see, and granted, this is, you know, very limited action during individuals, when you've got a couple guys snapping the ball. Dieter Eisland was one who I caught in like my video that I posted yesterday. Lucas Patrick did not. And I know that Matt Eberflus was asked afterwards, like, well, you know, is that going to, you know, hinder his functionality of being able to play that position? And that's something that they're going to wait to see starting Wednesday during practice. So it'll be interesting tomorrow to see where Lucas Patrick is during the individual drills that we're able to see. Like, is he starting to snap the ball? Because you're right, it's very difficult to play with a cast on your hand, and you've got to be functional at that position. Otherwise, you're probably doing yourself more harm than good. My question is, if they think he's that good enough, he's that good where it upgrades the offensive line enough to put him back into the starting five, but not at center, keeping Sam Mustipher at center, what does that mean? I think we all kind of assume that it's the right guard spot that would be where he would slide in if he's not playing center. Feels like Cody Whitehair is, I mean, he's had the left guard spot locked down for a while, but what does that mean for Tevin Jenkins? What does that mean, too, for Alex Leatherwood? I mean, I assume, at least as of right now, he'd be playing on the tackle, that he would be the backup right tackle. But there could be a lot of moving parts come a couple days from now as they're trying to figure out their starting five based solely on where Lucas Patrick goes and then the domino effect that creates. Like, if he is back at center, does that mean that they want to move Mustipher back to right guard? Because before Tevin Jenkins took that position, that was where Sam Mustipher, for most of the offseason portion before camp, that's where he was. So it's going to be intriguing to see what the interior looks like, but it's certainly not set right now because we're all waiting to see how much Lucas Patrick is going to be able to handle week one.
Valus Jones and Byron Pringle both on the field yesterday, Courtney?
Yes, they were. And I think that's a welcome sight for a group that had three healthy receivers practicing last week. And you got to see Amir Smith-Marset, who they claimed off waivers from Minnesota, finally get a little bit of talking to him afterwards in the locker room. And Justin Fields' locker, I want to say, three to the left of his. And when we got done talking, he was kind of, you know, just joking around, like, hey, man, we got to get together and you can teach me these plays. Like, he's trying to get up to speed here as quickly as he can, because this is somebody who realizes, A, he comes from an offense, you know, that was run in Minnesota that has quite a few similarities to what they're installing and what they're running here under Luke Getsy. So trying to do that, trying to carve out a role for himself when there's still, like, out, you know, Mooney, and, you know, when Pringle gets up to speed, when Valus Jones gets up to speed, there's some spots there to be determined of who's going to be getting targets and who's going to fill in where. So a good sign for them in terms of the injury stuff that's trending in the right direction, where you get Valus Jones back. I had seen him running after practice a couple days last week, so it looked like that was headed in the right direction. And for Byron Pringle to be back out there, even he said that, you know, they haven't now, and he's more focused on making sure, you know, the breathing, the conditioning, at game speed, because it goes fast. And if you're not in shape for that, it's going to be tough. But a good sign that he was out there and will continue to be there, so we assume, going on the rest of the week.
Great stuff, Courtney. We appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thanks, Courtney.
I think we lost her for good right at the end.
By the way, here's a little note for you. Smith-Marset last year.
Uh-huh.
Had two touchdown catches, both came against the Bears.
I know, yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, he didn't play much until those two, and he had his biggest game came in that meaningless game against the Bears. I think it was meaningless for both teams. Yes?
Yeah.
Was it the last game of the year?
Yeah, he had three catches for 103 yards and a touchdown. That was January 9th when
And a couple weeks before that is when he had his first touchdown against the Bears.
Yeah. Are you predicting then a Jeff Blauser / Edgar Bennett situation?
No.
Where they torment the team they're playing only to come to
That's so funny. Jeff Blauser. Why isn't he hitting better? Because he's not hitting Cubs pitching right now.
For those who aren't old enough, Jeff Blauser signed with the Cubs in 98. He was a longtime Atlanta Braves shortstop who is basically, and I don't even know, I got to look at the numbers now that you measure stuff differently. He was basically a replacement level shortstop. Like he had some good moments.
Yeah, but Gracie needed a clubhouse smoking partner.
Oh, yeah. And in 98, they would sit in a circle and they would all smoke cigarettes and drink beer after the game. I think Matt Karchner was a part of that crew, too. So then the Cubs, one of their big free agent signings, and Blauser would, against the Cubs as a replacement-level player,
tore him up.
Maybe a little bit better against the Cubs. He tore him up. Was like a 350 hitter against the Cubs. The Cubs went out, and they signed him in 98.
1997, Jeff Blauser hit 17 home runs, drove in 70, hit .308 with an on-base percentage of .405.
It's okay, better than replacement level.
Yeah, he had an OPS of .886 the next 2 years.
With the Cubs.
He had 4 home runs, and then in 99, he had 9 home runs. As a Cub, he had a .226 batting average.
And that was, like, 98 was the heart of the steroid stuff. Like, he's the only baseball player who went down from 97 to 98 in home runs.
He used to give the Cubs fits.
Yeah. So, Edgar Bennett, of course, played for the Packers.
Yeah.
And then, we would have beat the Packers if not for the 2 touchdowns by Bennett. And he had an 80-yard run and a 60-yard touchdown run. Other than that, we held him to 1.8 yards rushing. And then the Bears signed him, and he sucked.
Such is life in Chicago.
No, I'm not predicting that for the new Bears wide receiver.
I'm not predicting anything at this point. We'll wait and see. Hopefully he can give them something.
All 6 bodies for the first time were available to practice. That was the first time all preseason.
Yeah, it's interesting, too. I don't know. Listen, I don't know how accurate the ESPN website's roster depth chart is for all of the NFL teams.
No, go to Bears.com, and I don't think it's out yet.
It's not out yet?
No, I think it's still listed as the 22nd.
Okay.
I think it's got to be in by tomorrow.
I'm interested to see how they've got guys, where they've got guys listed in it, the ESPN one, and again, just for you-know-whats and giggles, it's got Braxton Jones at left tackle, Cody Whitehair at left guard, Lucas Patrick at center, Tevin Jenkins at right guard, and Riley Reiff at right tackle.
And then the Bears, as of, here's their, it's still listed as of 8/22, they have right guard listed as blank.
Okay. So they haven't done it yet.
They haven't updated it yet, and I think they have to have one. Either tomorrow or Thursday, I would assume so.
Steelers amended theirs today.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk. You want to start Waddle's World with that?
Yeah. They had they moved things around again.
I know, Captain My Captain. How about that development in Pittsburgh? Woo-hoo-hoo. Waddle's World coming up next. Going to need a little help with the windows out front right now. We're going to need some help. I was just talking to Alan Favada today with Window Nation. He's the new star of some of our messages for Window Nation. Had the windows wide open all weekend. Extraordinary.
Wasn't it gorgeous? It was beautiful. Like, the weather was fantastic.
I like it a little warmer for now, but if it was going to be cool, open the windows. Let's get some fresh air inside. And all my windows work now, thanks to Window Nation. I want you to do the same thing that I did. You know you've needed to replace your windows. You're going to save money in the short term with their great sale. Buy 2 windows, get 2 free. Make no payments of any kind until 2025. And you're going to save money in the long term because they're going to save you money on your energy bills, both air condition and heating, because you're going to have energy-efficient windows that work and seal the house the way it's supposed to be. These are true experts. Call my guys, Window Nation, at 866-90-NATION. The number again, 866-90-NATION. It's back to work time after Labor Day. You have some things on your to-do list. This should be one of them. Go to windownation.com or call them at 866-90-NATION.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
It's time to find out what's on Tom's mind.
Isn't that why you are here?
As we go inside Waddle's World.
It's a wonderful Waddle's World. It's brought to you by our fine friends and partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit wintrust.com/find us. Member FDIC. I told you that there has been a there's been a depth chart update. Mitch Trubisky, as we learned, is going to be the week one starter for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But now rookie Kenny Pickett was listed as number three on the depth chart. They've moved him up to number two.
Ooh.
So for those of you that are following the Pittsburgh Steelers are doing.
Why'd they do that originally?
I have no idea. I have no idea why they decided to do what they decided to do. But Kenny Pickett is now officially the backup quarterback. This has been a good discussion on all the national television shows about how long is this situation going to last.
Well, it's still Mitch Mitches. Once Mitch Mitches, then it's Kenny Pickett time.
So how long do you think it'll last?
Well, I think he is. It's the life has come full circle. He is now Mike Lennon, and Kenny Pickett is him. And this will be.
I think there's a good chance that Mitch Trubisky has a better run than Mike Lennon.
There's a chance.
Yeah.
I mean, but
I get the schedule.
Pickett was so good.
The schedule for the Pittsburgh Steelers this year, they start with Cincinnati in Cincinnati. Then they get New England at home. Then they go to Cleveland. They're at Cleveland, and then they get New York, and then they're at Buffalo, and then Tampa.
Mitch is which New York team? Is it the Giants?
The Jets.
The Jets?
Boy, that was something special, wasn't it?
We had some guy just...
Did he leave? We were working at security.
Yeah. Spitting all over the windows.
Yeah, I mean, we may need...
Not a good time to eat the blueberries either.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, oh, he's back.
Yeah.
He's back.
Yeah.
It's like he's growing out a beard there.
He's what?
He's growing out a beard. The guy who just spit on the window. Yeah.
Gonna need a winner. Gonna need some window washing going on here.
Either that or he just doesn't have access to a razor. I don't know.
That's the way my beard would look, though, if I didn't let it grow. Anyway.
Look. I think they wanted... If Mitch would have screwed up in the preseason... Mitch played well in the preseason.
He did. Mitch looked good.
So they were, because Pickett was so good, they would have felt comfortable with if Mitch would not have played well going with Pickett.
Yes.
But the plan was always Mitch gets the job as long as Mitch keeps the job. So I really feel that now that they know that Pickett's really ready, he seems to be ready, that once he slips.
Do you ever know really if you're ready, you know, for a young quarterback?
I feel like the Steelers are insulated better than most teams.
Yes, I would say
for this type of move.
Yeah, I agree with that. And we'll find out. Look, when you simplify things for Mitch and you build a game plan around him, you may find that he can do some decent things. The problem becomes, or at least in previous years, the problem becomes when ultimately he has to raise his level of play against better competition. Can he do it? That's the question. We'll see if he can do it in a Steelers uniform.
Did you mention, too, that he's one of, four or five different
his
captains?
Captain. I did not mention that, but he is a captain as well.
Now, do they have the permanent captains?
These are the permanent.
Because I think the Bears...
They haven't named anybody yet.
Are they doing the rotating captains?
That I don't know. I don't know what the policy is for...
This is meathead-ish. I know. I don't like rotating captains. I don't like let's give everyone a chance to be a captain. Yeah. I want a few team leaders, and I want him to be the leaders.
Yeah, agreed. I got no problem. Listen, if you can't be the captain of the football team when you're the starting quarterback, that shows, that's an indictment on you as the quarterback.
By the same token, if you're a second-year guy coming off the year that they had last year, I can understand if for whatever reason the coaching staff decides, you know what, we don't want you to focus on that right now. We want you to focus on this. And then, you know, maybe that's the case in a year from now.
But when you say second-year guy, you mean Fields?
Yes. Yeah, I'm thinking about Justin.
I'll tell you what. I'll be disappointed if Justin Fields is not named the captain of the Bears.
I won't.
Because the position in itself, especially
because of what
the Bears have on the roster, it innately lends itself to you being the captain if you're going to...
I get it, but right now, that young man is coming off a season that was difficult to say the least. There's already going to be pressure. If they decide that they just don't want to do it right now, I'm not going to be disappointed.
I won't be disappointed.
Not at all.
But I still think Mitch is a Pittsburgh Steelers captain. That's like going from basically what the Bulls did, going from Michael Jordan to Ron Mercer.
Yeah, but I don't think it's necessary to overvalue that decision at this point.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to lose any sleep over who the hell the Bears captain is.
No, I'm not either. So if they come out and they decide that Justin Fields isn't going to be one of their captains, I'm not going to be bothered by it. If they decide that he is going to be one of their captains, fantastic. I mean, either way, I don't think it's something that will move the needle for me regardless. That's all I'm saying to you. Did you watch any soccer this weekend? Or soccer, tennis this weekend?
I stopped. When was Serena's
Friday
last
night,
match?
Sylvie was all in.
Yeah, he was all in on Friday night. Friday night was
Serena brought me to the TV. She's like Tiger, where things are better when they're involved. And it was dramatic. I loved the crowd just trying to will her to win. But after that, I was out on tennis.
Kyrgios was very, very good. He was playing Medvedev, right? Yep. Did you watch it, Mellor?
Yeah, I did.
Tyler, you a tennis guy as well? And Medvedev was the reigning champ, right? And the number one seed. So he beat him. Nadal got beat yesterday. I don't normally sit and watch tennis day after day after day, but I've gotten a good 3 or 4 day run of tennis viewing. It's been fantastic.
Where were the Cubs yesterday?
No clue.
Why are teams off on Labor Day?
And there were a couple. They were
like Memorial Day. There should always be an afternoon game on Memorial Day and Labor Day.
Well, they needed a break, dude. They'd lost 3 in a row, and they'd lost 7 of their last 8.
Yeah, it's a good time to start a win streak.
Every time they get all your guys' balls hot, they go on some sort of 7 out of 8 losses.
They're not good.
I know.
There have been some good stories from this year.
I get it, but like every time Merck's always like, hey, the fellas are getting it together again. No, they're not. This is who they are. They're 22 games under 500 this year.
Do you see what Pujols did against them?
The homer again.
Well, in his last at bat against the Cubs.
Was he four away from 700?
I think he's in 95.
Five. Here you go.
Albert hits one, a ton! Deep left! It is gone! 695! They pitch to him, and they get burned!
Why would
his
pitch
final
to him?
At bat against the Cubs! A pinch hit!
We've got to discuss that because there was a whether to pitch to him or not pitch to him debate on the South side going on, too, regarding Dylan Cease that I didn't understand.
I me either. But, like, I don't – this one
– Well, the Cubs are –
You're 21 games under 500.
The Cubs are nursing a 2.5-game lead in first place. So you cannot afford to pitch to Pujols in that situation.
Was it Brandon Hughes? Rival. Brandon Hughes is on the mound? How about allowing Brandon Hughes to work through the situation? Isn't the entire seat like...
I kind of like the footnote that Albert Pujols has tormented us as a fan base. Why not punctuate it with an exclamation mark? Here you go. In my last at bat against the Cubs, !! Home run.
Take that. Does he come back? I mean, look, what if he doesn't get to 700? He just...
So then he's one or two short. I mean, what's the difference between 698
just
and 7?
Just asking.
No.
Just asking. Do you think he comes back? They bring him back and then he retires as soon as he gets to 700?
I think he should. Like, if you were...
How many guys have hit 700 home runs? How many guys are in that club? Four?
Yeah.
Five?
I think,
four?
Bonds, Ruth, Mays,
Aaron.
Aaron.
A-Rod's 696, right?
Yeah, yeah, Mays
is... That's right. He passed... Yeah, he's about to pass.
Mays is 6-something, isn't he? Is Mays 7?
No, I don't think so.
No, Mays is 6-something.
Is he?
Yeah.
So I'm with you, Mellor. I could see a scenario where he comes back, but then you got to train all offseason or at least train in the offseason.
And that could get ugly where he got hot and he's actually deserved the playing time and no one expected him to really go for 700 because of the player he was. He's been a great player recently for them in the spots that he's played.
Yeah, we've got Bonds, Aaron, Ruth. He would be the fourth.
Wow.
I think he got to come back.
Because then all of a sudden, what if he's no good? And then he's just playing and you don't want to play him and you're playing him because he just
wants to find spots
for him.
And
then does he retire when he gets 700?
Yes, on the spot.
On the spot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Crosses home plate.
You can't do that.
Signs in the paperwork.
Sure you can.
That, my friend, is the ultimate walk-off home run.
Yes.
700 home run.
He takes his jersey off and just walks.
Yes.
I think there's a chance if he doesn't get there, he comes back. Can we get some of the spit washed on you? I want to puke in my own mouth.
Try eating juicy blueberries
and seeing
while someone's spitting loogies on the window.
Yeah.
You have got to go high power brain stuff to overcome
shut it
that.
Out.
Yes.
Shut it out.
Because I keep thinking about his spit.
Yeah.
And then the juiciness of the berry. And I'm like,
yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
In the, but to your credit, Sylvie, you're powering through
power,
it.
Always.
And he needs food. My man could shut off that portion of his brain if it includes something tasty to eat.
He's got those blinders on. He's like a professional athlete.
That was so gory. A truck just hit someone on State Street. Oh, you know what? This burger's fantastic.
Burger, juicy burger.
Juicy
cooked
burger.
To perfection. Medium.
I'm not
You know, Waddle and I did a share a meal Saturday.
Oh, we did. Yeah, Saturday night.
Saturday night. We shared a meal.
I felt fine about it, too.
Yeah, we were at a Mexican restaurant with the wives. A good time, Patty Boyle, and
he
his
didn't
wife
want to share
there.
With
no,
us.
No, he did not.
He didn't want any part
but
of it.
But they have
we
now...
could have gone chicken, steak, and shrimp.
Yes.
Fajitas, and all three of us. We just shared it along.
They put a new rule down at the Mexican restaurant that we were at. You used to be able to say, look, I want fajitas, but I want half steak, half shrimp.
Yeah.
They're like, look, you get one meat and one meat only.
Yes.
That's it.
One protein. One protein.
So Waddle and I put our heads together.
I want some shrimp and some steak.
Me too. So we ordered.
We look like an old steak. Married couple. I was taking shrimp off of my sizzling hot plate and putting it on him.
He goes, now we're even.
Yeah. You guys feed each other a little
no,
bit?
No, we did not. The wives stopped that. They wouldn't allow that to happen. You guys, like, well, you called your Uber like at 9:10 too. Like,
I was so tired.
When we got home, I said to my wife, I was like, what was the rush? Why were we trying to get out of there so soon?
I was so tired.
Like, I don't have any kids at home. Like, I got home at 9:30.
I drank Thursday, Friday, Saturday,
so
Sunday, and yesterday.
As did I. We just couldn't understand why I was, all right, Allie, Uber's here. I looked at it, I was like, it's 9:07. What?
Well, I assume you guys must have got there at 5 then, if that's the...
We didn't get there till 7:15.
Well, then.
It's
like, under 2 hours.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a surprise with the way the service was, too.
Oh, yeah. But the food was great.
Great.
Food was great. But I couldn't understand why you guys wanted to leave so early. Was it the company?
No.
You guys like, just don't like spending time with us?
I think he's sending a message.
I was exhausted. I'm an old man.
From what?
I don't know. The kids. Nothing makes you want to go back to work.
On.
Tyler, nothing makes you want to go back to work after... Like, I love my kids. Love them to death.
A four-day weekend with the kids?
A four-day weekend. Throwing a play day where we hosted the play day. You know what? I feel like a good long work day. Sign me back up. Get back to work. It's football season.
Yeah, it is. Speaking of that, real quick before we go to break, Georgia, probably the most dominant team I saw all weekend play. They are now number 2 in the AP top 25 poll, just behind Alabama.
Boy, Oregon got rolled.
Wasn't that the biggest win? I saw something there, too. Georgia's biggest, most defining win against an AP top 25 team or the largest margin of victory. They just pounded them. I did not do so well. I think it was 500 on the weekend gambling.
Okay. But it wasn't a loss.
No, it wasn't. It was 500. But Alabama's 1, Georgia's 2, Ohio State is 3. I know you made a little bit of money on Notre Dame. They kept it close.
Yeah, they covered, yeah.
Michigan is 4, Clemson is 5. I thought Clemson was awful last night. I went away from the game and started watching the House of the Dragon and then found out they covered. I basically punted on that bet because I thought I had lost it, but found
out
that
they
covered.
That's a nice win. That's like found French fries at the bottom of the bag.
Again, we always circle back to food.
Yeah, see?
All right, when we come back, I got some nonsense, including a man who did something that will shock you. He survived something that will absolutely shock you.
Good.
That's next. Your buddy Tom Waddle here, and at Voss Equipment, supply chain issues are really improving. Here's what's just in today. The Yale MPB-045VG motorized hand and pallet jacks. Obviously, I've never used one of these, but our friends at Voss Equipment are super excited to have them back in stock. It's ideal for retail stores, home centers, and all sorts of warehouse applications. Visit VossEquipment.com today and see this and other restocked items. Drive your operation to new levels of productivity. Go to VossEquipment.com.
Miss a show? All your faves ready and waiting on the ESPN Chicago app.
You are listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
137 people were cited for underage drinking at a Wisconsin bar.
How many?
137. On Thursday, police checked the IDs of 143 people at a bar in Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh, of course.
Only six were of age. Police from the Madison Police Department were conducting proactive enforcement in downtown Madison on September 1st, visiting bars in the neighborhood and checking to see if the venues were enforcing liquor laws. At one of the bars, officers cited 137 people for underage drinking or having false IDs. They did not name the bar, but noted that it was located within the 600 block of Main Street. Do we know which one it is?
Well, Big Cat could help you probably.
Yes,
you know, Big Cat went to Wisconsin, and he goes back frequently. Sometimes he goes shirtless. So
I don't think he does that as much as he used to.
Don't you remember the basketball game last year? He was shirtless.
Yeah.
Remember, did you paint his
boots? That used to be a daily thing for him. Like, just going to the grocery store, he'd take his shirt off. I'm not so sure he does that as much. But I will say he looks like he's in pretty good shape these days.
Yeah.
Yeah. His gambling, not so good this weekend.
No, no.
But we'll talk to him about that. Did you see this story? A Brazilian man reportedly survived 11 days in the Atlantic Ocean last month, taking refuge inside a freezer after his boat sank.
Whoa, so the freezer would float from the boat?
Yes,
and
his boat sank.
Yeah.
But the freezer, you should see the picture. He's inside the freezer, floating. He survived 11 days. The man is a fisherman. During a fishing trip in early August that was supposed to last 3 days, cracks in his boat started filling with water, sinking the vessel off the coast of northern Brazil. He was able to jump inside the floating cooler to stay alive, and a group of fishermen found him 11 days later off the coast of Suriname.
11 days.
11
days. What would
days.
You do? Like, would you make it 11 days?
No way. What do you mean, would I make it 11 days?
Your skin would be just bright red.
Yeah, you can't make it 11 hours without food.
11 hours, I'd be gone.
Between my skin and your stomach, we'd be screwed. I think Allie's here with your Uber. I think your Uber just came and get it.
You guys should have said something. I think Uber just pulled up.
Like, I know we're not the most exciting people on the planet.
What could he have said, though? If they had said,
already?
Sylvie, this is so disappointing.
Let's have another drink.
Would you have canceled?
I'm not canceling my Uber.
You'd be like, I would have canceled.
I think I still had half my shared fajitas on my plate.
That's not true.
I think it was.
We wrapped up.
In a real-life Armageddon story, NASA is set to crash a $330 million spacecraft into an asteroid to see if impact can alter its course. How about that?
They're going to crash it?
In a few weeks, NASA controllers will deliberately crash their $330 million DART robot spacecraft into an asteroid. The half-ton probe will be traveling at more than 4 miles a second.
Wow.
When it strikes its target.
So this is to just in
case. Get it off its course. Yeah, if you get a giant asteroid that is coming our way. And you hit it with something. That was the essence of
Armageddon.
Did you ever see Armageddon?
No, I didn't.
It's still one of those movies that if it shows up on like one of the AMC channels, I may catch
it.
Did I miss something from that?
It's Bruce Willis, right?
Steve Buscemi's in it.
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck.
Jennifer Garner.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
a good movie. I like it. So,
summer blockbuster.
I saw the new, I started the new Elvis movie.
Oof.
Not good.
My daughters went to the theater to see it. And
I didn't
left
know
the
this
theater.
Until after you told me.
This was right before you left. Ooh. For the.
And I love Tom Hanks.
I watched that actually. I watched that this weekend with my wife. It was Tom Hanks was really bad.
Bad.
But
like
they
played that character. Yes. Like it just wasn't good, and I felt like it was very stereotypical. At least early on, they weren't telling me anything I didn't know.
I was gonna say, here's the interesting thing. It wasn't terrible for me and my wife because we
don't know who Elvis is.
Very little about Elvis other than, because we really weren't born until well after he was dead. So I didn't really have much of a reference point. But you, I think, right, Sylvie, you knew a little bit about Elvis.
I did? Yeah, I knew a little
bit. He died on the crapper, didn't he? Isn't that true or is that
they didn't really reveal
folklore.
That.
No?
Yeah, I mean, that would be a good part of the story to reveal, no?
Yeah.
Where he died?
I thought he died on the toilet.
I believe that was what I was under the impression.
The big deal of going on the television show and shaking his hips. Everyone knows that. Give me something different.
August 16th, 1977, Elvis Presley died in his Graceland mansion on the toilet. Well, actually on the floor after he fell off the toilet. You're named after Elvis, Aaron with one A.
Right. I Googled it. I Googled Elvis, too, over the weekend after I started watching it. But they still spell it on Wikipedia, A-A-R-O-N. But I believe it's A-R-O-N.
This can't be true, this story.
What?
Come on.
What, are you going to share it with us, or are you going to just sit there with your mouth open? It
says Elvis Presley constipated for... What is this story?
I've heard that.
Really?
Yes.
He died of constipation?
Elvis Presley, are you sure this isn't one of those articles that's going to get you?
Give us the rest of the
details. It says here,
fake Woj.
Because he did so many drugs.
Elvis Presley constipated for 4 months, and as autopsy reveals grisly details of toilet death.
Oh, gee.
Elvis Presley was found dead at the foot of the toilet with his bathroom in the, with his bottom in the air after months of agonizing constipation and cheeseburger binges.
Because he was on so many different drugs.
Right. Yeah. All the prescriptions. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll talk to Barstool Big Cat coming up next.